Howdy, Frank Show. Let's get Craig Gass in here. He'll be performing at the Comedy Store this Thursday at 9 p.m. For tickets, you can go to thecomedystore.com.
Oh, there he
is. Oh, Craig first gained fame as the guy who did the voices for the Howard Stern Show. He's an impressionist and stand-up comedian, friend of the show.
Ding dong. And look who I brought with me.
Who's here?
Tom Arnold.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Hey,
Tracy Morgan.
Oh, hey, my God. Look at those all his friends.
Star hey, buddy. Hey, it's good to see you. Man, it's been a long time, and it's great to see you. I met Craig last week at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but it's Cocaine Anonymous meeting. He's got a big problem with cocaine and painkillers, and I guess Brett Favre was at the meeting. That was really, again, it's supposed to be anonymous. But his sponsor is Bob Costas, who addicted to porn, can't get enough porn, and probably, you know, he needs to work on his program. So, isn't that crazy?
It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too.
It's been a long time.
It's been a really long time.
I keep trying to call you, and you never call me back.
Shut up. Here's my problem. I come in, and I get sucked into this idea like, wow, I'm really getting along with these guys, and yeah. I feel like Frank and I are best friends. And I think that I have a chance with Heidi. And then as soon as we're off the air, you guys are like, all right.
See you later.
Later.
Have a good one.
Don't talk for years.
I think Heidi and I have a thing. No, yeah. Dude, she's a lesbian. I'm like, I'm telling you, every time I'm in there, we have and then Frank and I are like, Dad. And then I'm gone. And then it's like, and that's it. You guys are really good at this.
So we're the same way with each other.
When you were driving in today, did you experience any road rage from anybody? Anybody?
No, I didn't get any fights with anybody. I didn't feel any.
Are you the guy who gets mad at people? Or are you you guy who drives and people get mad at you?
Both, probably. I have moments where if somebody cuts me off, I have to. It's weird how when you pull up next to them, you go, I got to get a look at this guy. And no matter what they look like, you go, I knew it! old lady! Or Asian! Mexican! White! Dude!
So soccer mom!
I knew it! Everything enrages you. And yeah, and it's never anything.
I don't know if you, I mean, you were in the green room listening to the show, but Eric was telling his story about how he experienced road rage. But his pregnant wife was driving in front of him, and some guy ended up getting in front of her, and I guess she's tailgating or something, but he slams on the brakes, gets out of his car, goes and starts knocking on the window of his pregnant wife. He's behind her. Honks on his horn, doesn't do anything else. Just honks on his horn and sits in his car like, stop it. So the text line is beating you up, Eric. You can text HF to 68683. It says here from the 951, Eric is a pussy. From the 661, suggestion for Eric's road rage. Next time, call his wife's ex-boyfriend, the surfer dude.
Oh.
From 714, Eric, you're a pussy. If some D-bag started banging on my pregnant wife's car window while I was behind them, I would got out of my car and cracked his head with my bat. Everyone's beating up on you, Eric. Because you
don't know what you're going to do in that situation. You can never
throw the pregnant woman to the guy.
No, I freaked out, and all I could think to do was go honk, 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 honk.
That was his monkey clap. You've monkey clapped before.
I monkey clapped because I saw in my rearview mirror. You know, I was being nice, and I was letting pedestrians cross the road because they always had the right of way, right? And this wasn't at a crosswalk. This was on Sunset Boulevard at night, and so you got the girls in their little dresses, and they were, and I'm. I'll stop and let them walk in front of me. So I got the headlights on their legs and stuff.
Right.
And so I give them the wave, like, yeah, you're fine. And I look up in my rearview mirror, and I'm in the far right lane, and I see this car coming up on my left going fast. And I've waved them across.
Okay.
And this person I know can't, because I was in a SUV at the time, so there's no way this person coming up my left can see these girls. And so they're like, thanks! And they start looking the other direction. You know, like, how's this side looking? And this car's coming up, and I see in my head the future, like, seconds that these girls are going to get nailed and die. And I just go, in my car. I did stiff finger palm clamping. And luckily, the guy saw him and swerved at the last minute and missed him.
You imagine.
But I didn't honk my horn. I just sat there.
See, he's right. You don't know what you would do.
In stressful situations, I turn into monkey clapper.
I'm ready to honk. I'm always, because growing up in New York, I'm ready to honk at everyone. So my hand's always ready to hit the horn.
That's how you learn to drive. Like
yeah. It's two and honk. It's two and honk. Two and honk. Two and honk.
Yeah, but I've never been so scared that I'm always ready to honk at somebody, and it's just a common courtesy to honk and flip each other off in New York.
The thing about you that amazes me the most is how you became an impressionist, because when you're growing up, your parents and your sister were completely deaf.
My whole family is.
Your whole family's completely deaf, so learn how to speak, you had to watch television and just impersonate the people on TV.
Yeah, and I started a few years ago. I started doing voices on Family Guy and American Dad. They give me homework assignments and they say, hey, can you do this voice? Can you do this voice? I've always been able to do any kind of voice that I hear. Growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my own family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV, which when you try to explain that to comedians are the most insensitive a-holes on the planet. Tracy Morgan actually walked up to me at a comedy club 2 years ago and said, so Craig, your whole family's like retarded, right? And I was like, retarded? Oh my God. No, they're not retarded. They're deaf. Okay, so they're deaf. So they wear like football helmets and stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, they're deaf. They can do anything they want. They just can't hear you.
Okay, so they deaf. So can they see?
Yes! What kind of deaf people have you met who can't see, man? That was so funny. You guys went to a break like a half hour ago. You said, all right. Oh, listen, if you're blind, give us a call. And I was like, what?
Well, I'm not going to ask the deaf people to call in.
People all over LA just...
Yeah, where I can't.
Looking for their phone.
Yeah. That's the great thing about having Craig on is he never has to do a shout out to his family because they're listening. He can just come in. There's no show, you know. He can say anything. His mom's never disappointed.
No, the question we asked earlier was about blind people. I heard that they have nightmares four times more often than people who can see. How do deaf people dream?
I don't know how they dream, but deaf people have heightened sensitivity to everything. They can smell things. Like all their other senses are...
They just wake up sounding like they came from a nightmare. Did you see Louis C.K. on SNL over the weekend?
I don't know. I've seen him do that material before, so okay. I didn't see the episode, but I've been watching him do it in clubs. And I think you can talk about anything as long as there's a joke there. It's okay to joke about
anything.
Yeah,
the premise here for Louis C.K. was pedophiles. Mm-hmm. And you have the clip? All right, play the clip.
But there's no worse life available to a human than being a caught child molester. And yet they still do it. Which from, you can only really surmise that it must be really good. I mean, from their point of view, not ours, but from their point of view, it must be amazing for them to risk so much. How do you think I feel? It's my last show, probably.
It was ballsy.
It is, but you can joke about anything as long as you make a joke about it. If there's...
But my little son,
Like, my friend Big J has this joke that he does, and it's a magic trick because it offends everyone. And then he brings them back, and he actually gets a laugh. You can feel the entire room just tighten up, like, where are you going with this? And the joke is, and it's a true story, he said, I was with this girl... We're on a date, and we start making out in my car. And she starts crying. And I go, why are you crying? And she goes, this song. And it was, my radio was on, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird is playing. And she said, when I was 19, I was raped to this song. Which always makes the crowd go, Jesus. And he goes, I know. And rape is awful. That's number one. And number two... That's a long song. That's like a 6.5 minute guitar solo. And it always makes the crowd like, he always gets them back with the, you know, yeah.
Oh, man. And that, yeah. So, that's crafty as hell.
Yeah.
And, is there a joke that you worked on or tested out a few times that you never got them back? You went too far? Or is there something?
Well, I tried to get on, for the first time, I tried pursuing Letterman. Well, I tried pursuing late night TV for the first time, and Letterman show was really interested. 6 months ago, I started trying to do late night TV, and they were upset with the story about Tracy. Well, they weren't upset with it. They said, you can't say the word retarded on TV. And I said, but I'm not saying retarded. I'm saying another comedian... said my family was retarded, and they said, yeah, you can't say retarded. And I was like, but in the context, that's the story, and I'm the
I'm the target of the, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of sensitivity to
language. And you can't really change that. It doesn't work if you change it.
Yeah, and I don't really, there's just, don't you, I mean, do you guys get more complaints now? You guys have been on the radio for a long time. Do you get more complaints now? Are people more sensitive now?
No, I think that we've been on for so long that I think they just kind of
know they're going to offend everyone.
Like, yeah, that, it's like they right. know that that's what we do. We'll eventually get to you. And yeah, so I think the letters have stopped quite a bit. But with Louis C.K., I think with his popularity, the way it is, it's like almost you think you can do anything. But then he jumped back. He did pull him back in and go, you know, saying, I love eating Mounds bars. But if someone told me Mounds bars were going to get me hated and I would go to jail, I'd stop eating them.
But I noticed he also kept framing it as these people.
Yeah, yeah.
To them. And he kept saying, to them, this yeah. is amazing.
Not
to them,
us.
This is so not to, of course, we're normal, but to them. Pedophilia is awesome.
Now, Craig, do you feel
so that's
like
the only reason you didn't get on Letterman? Because you wouldn't take that retarded joke out of your set?
There was a couple words they said, well, you can't do this. And then I tried to do, all right, so Tracy Morgan said, is your family special, which doesn't have as much punch. Like,
no. I heard your family was special. That's crazy.
And it's like, no. Yeah. But it's not as funny.
I was just going to ask you that. It's like to tell a joke as Craig Gass might be a little bit tough, one of those jokes like that. But if you do it as somebody else, is it easier to get away with it? But maybe not because of the Tracy Morgan thing.
Yeah, I think anything is easier when I do it as somebody else. That's why I wanted to walk in and be like, and have Tracy Morgan with me and just say he's promoting the show.
Hey, I'm not even going to be inside the Comedy Store. I'll be out in the parking lot filming a porno in a white van. I'll be out there. You want to go see a comedy show? Go inside the Comedy Store. You want to be in a movie called Men in Back? Come out in the white van. Out in the parking lot. Bring your own shoehorn. That's crazy.
You still have 3 days to get on Letterman. Is a possibility?
Yeah, I know. It's not going to happen. But that's okay.
It kind of sucks, though, that you were like, okay, I'm gonna pursue this. They were looking at you, and now it's like David Letterman's going to be off in 3 days, never to come back, and you missed that opportunity to be on, Dave's show.
But I was also super nervous about it and kind of standoffish about it. I didn't, it's,
when you go to
you're good, man.
Yeah, Craig.
Don't you get nervous about stuff, though, that you go, oh, my God, I can't, maybe I shouldn't even, do you get too nervous about some things?
Not so much anymore. Maybe playing a song or two.
Yeah. That's a little nerve-wracking.
It kind of gets the nerves going. It calms me down by the end of the song, though. I kind of like it.
When you audition for Letterman, do you send in a tape, or do you have to do your act with a guy in the room going, oh, yeah, anytime you're ready?
Well, there's a couple ways. I had publicists that were contacting shows for me, and Letterman and the Conan O'Brien shows were the first ones to respond. And then there's a process you go through where, I know with Letterman, Eddie Brill was his guy who would walk you out to the clubs and watch you do your set and then critique your set and say, all right, you got to take this out and take... And over 5 minutes of material, which is, every comic has to go through that. But yeah, it is a little nerve-wracking. For some reason, whenever someone is in the audience to watch people specifically for TV and you have to be clean, I get even dirtier because of my nervousness. And then somehow I want to give myself the shocker. I go to a level that it's like, this is completely unnecessary.
You'll snap and just be the dirtiest Craig Gass ever.
Dang it, I blew it.
Well, you might get that at the Comedy Store. He'll be performing at this Thursday at 9 p.m. For tickets, go to thecomedystore.com. Follow him on Twitter. At Craig Gass Comedy. And we're going to take a quick break and come right back. I'll call you later.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, we should grab dinner or something.
I wanted to be able to tell the greatest story of all time. And I want to know if it was possible on the next break to be able to tell the greatest story of all time.
You have the greatest story of all time?
It's a story that I heard. I didn't believe it. And it involves some famous people. And I think it's the greatest story of all time. And I just want to be able to share
that. Well, how can we skip that? The greatest story of all time coming up. Right here, Frank.
Back to more of the Heidi and Frank Show next on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Back to the Heidi and Frank Show on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
A friend of the show, Craig Gass, is here. He's going to be performing at the Comedy Store this Thursday at 9 p.m. For tickets, go to thecomedystore.com, and he's teased us with the greatest story ever told.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and here is Craig Gass about to tell you a story that you can download for $29.95 at kissonline.com.
Now, this is a story that, and I can't say who the guy is, but... I went to a friend's house who's a musician. He's a huge rock guy.
Okay.
And I would say arguably one of the biggest rock bands to come out of the 80s, hands down. And he told me a story, and one of the other band members in his band was in the room and said, yes, this is a absolutely 100% true story. This band did a big festival show in Europe a few years ago. AC/DC was the headliner. And Brian Johnson, the singer of AC/DC, came into the band's dressing room to say hello to the band. The band, naked. They're getting ready to go on stage. They're putting on their stage clothes. So Brian Johnson comes in the dressing room, and he's holding court with somebody at the entrance of the dressing room. And he looks over at the drummer on the other side of the room. And then he starts staring at the drummer. And then he walks over and he says, hey, man, did you know you've got a giant penis on your back, man? And he goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, that tattoo. And he goes, it's a dragon. It's an angry dragon. He goes, I know it's a dragon, but look, it looks like a big giant penis with a, look, you got the soft one here with two balls at the bottom, and you got this, and he's pointing it, and the rest of the band is looking at him going, oh my God, you know what? That really does look like a giant penis. I never noticed that before. And the guy, the drummer, is going, shut up, because he thinks they're messing with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guys in the band are coming up and taking pictures, going, no, look, look, I'm just going to take a picture. Now look, see? All right, see how at the bottom of the neck it looks like you got two testicles right there? And you got to, you know.
Oh my God.
And then the singer looks over him and goes, oh my God, you know what? Okay, I'm not trying to be an ass, but I'm looking at it for the first time. I'm really seeing it, and it, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't even look like the dragon is breathing fire.
No!
It looks like it's doing something much, much worse. And he goes, shut up! Come on, let's go rock! It's time to go on! I want to put my shirt on. And he goes up, they rock out. The next day, he calls back to the United States. To the tattoo shop, and he goes, hey, I don't appreciate your guy trying to be funny here, drawing a big penis on my back. And this is what he hears from the tattoo shop. We had a lot of problems with that guy. He apparently was incorporating a penis into all of his tattoos, and we got a lot of complaints. We actually confronted him about it. We sat him down, and we said, hey, be honest, okay? Be honest. Is this intentional? Are you, because we're getting complaints that you're doing this in all your tattoos. And he said, can I make a phone call? And we said, sure. And he fled. We haven't seen, it's been a few months. He left a trail of dicks everywhere. But please, hey, please, let us make it up to you the next time you come back. No charge. We'll cover it up. But the guy has to go back to his band the next day and walk in the dressing room and go, I got a big penis on my back! And the whole band is looking at him going, we thought you were friends with that guy. Wasn't he like your buddy? He goes, I loved that guy! I hung out with him. He did a couple of my tattoos. We partied together. I mean, and they go, a couple of your tattoos? I thought he just did the... And he goes, yeah. I thought he just did the dragon. No, he did the dragon and the... my leg, Jesus, the Jesus.
Oh, no.
And then he unbuckles his belt, pulls his pants down, looks at his Jesus tattoo. Oh, man! No idea. There was a boner.
Oh, my God.
And now that guy works for Disney.
Yeah. That man grew up to be Seth MacFarlane.
Craig Gass, go see him at the Comedy Store. Get your tickets at thecomedystore.com. Thank you
this
so much
Thursday.
For coming in.
I'll see you there.
Lisa's meet in 2 minutes.
Heidi and Frank are freshening up. Stand by on 95.5 KLOS.